Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number 2, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. We will have Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us in the second half of the program. We will get into all things Titans with him. We'll get his thoughts on the Patriots and the Seahawks, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, all of it. Coming up with PK a little bit later in the show. Going to be joined here in a couple minutes by Dan Rosen from NHL.com. We mentioned it, big game tonight for the Predators against the Minnesota Wild. They're tonight at home against Minnesota, tomorrow on the road against Washington to close things out here before the Olympic break. So a couple of big games coming up for the Predators.
Interesting question here, which I think would be a good topic someday, but Craig, you know, he's talking about Saros, and it's ridiculous. Everybody always blames the defense. They let him off the hook. They act like, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, players and coaches, other than DeBoer, you know, here and there, I'm sure you
Jake
find.
Jake Sanderson and Otto.
What's that?
Jake Sanderson and Otto. Is like, yeah, you know, your goalie's got to make more than 10 saves.
Yeah, so here and there, you'll have. So he says, so Craig says, I understand they won't. I just don't understand why. Are you not allowed to tell the truth about them? Is it going to hurt their feelings too much? It is like a. It's a hockey thing. It's just like you just – that person is – that's the person who has to be on their game, right? And the mental and emotional aspects of the game are so critical. I think no one would ever – everybody wants – they're handled with kid gloves.
Well,
right? That's just how it is.
They are, and I think, you know, look, I've been around players that have talked about this before kind of off the record because I've asked about this, but it's probably been 5 or 6 years ago now. And this was not even in relation to the Predators. This was just kind of a thing we were talking about with some other people at NHL.com. And one player told me, he was like, you know, are there times where we say that in the back of our minds we're thinking, yeah, the goalie needs to make a freaking save? Of course there are.
Right.
But there are also times where it's like, you know, if technically we're doing our job the way we should be doing our job, they shouldn't be giving up any quality chances, right? Like you should be playing defense. It's like, okay, well, how realistic is that? It's the NHL. The other team gets paid too, but, you know. That's what he said.
Yeah, so. And that's fair, and that's, you know, that's how you want players to think that way.
Sure,
but you also, everybody knows there's mistakes. There will be many, many mistakes made in every game, and again, that's why the guys who get paid the most, they clean up those mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and again, like Saros, when they went through their stretch in December, early part of January, and they were winning a lot of games, he's a big part of it. Like he was playing well, and you know he wasn't perfect every night, but he was making some key saves at key times, and. I would just say that the last couple of weeks in particular have not been very good, and he's got to get back to playing better. I mean, look, his say what you will about the traditional stats, but his save percentage right now is .893. That ain't going to get it done.
No. What if he continues to struggle, but then he just dominates the Olympics and comes back and continues to struggle?
Maybe so. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Dan Rosen from NHL.com. Dan, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning, guys. What's going on?
A lot, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Preds with a huge game tonight against Minnesota. They've creeped back into the playoff race, and we'll get your thoughts on that here in just a minute. But I do want to start on the Barry Trotz stuff. He decides to step down as Predators general manager. He will be retiring as soon as they find his replacement and will transition into an advisory role. What did you make of that announcement, and what do you make, I guess, overall of the Barry Trotz tenure as general manager of the Nashville Predators?
Well, I love what Barry said. He goes, I took some swings, right? I took some big swings right off the bat. And, hey, you're gonna take over a new job and a new role. You might as well come out swinging and looking to hit some home runs, right? So, I'll be honest with you guys. I wasn't surprised. maybe surprised because you didn't see it coming like middle of the season or whatnot. But like, to me, Barry's a coach, right? So Barry's always been a coach. He's been a coach for, and as a coach, you have an opportunity to impact the game every game. And it drives you. It fills you up, right? I mean, that gets your juices flowing, the energy flowing, all of that stuff. And when you're a GM, you don't get that. You help the team, you build the team, you get put pieces in place, you put the puzzle pieces in place, but you don't get to play the game. And he was in it for a few years, and I think he recognized that I don't want to coach anymore. I did that for a long time. But maybe just, you know, this isn't doing it for me either right now. And now is a good time to step away and be with my family and enjoy my life, you know, be an advisor, sit in that role, whatnot, and just kind of take the stress off a little bit, right? And so I'm not surprised, to be honest with you. And I think the timing actually makes sense. It gives the Predators time long before the draft, long before, like, Barry's going to stay on, right? So you handle the trade deadline, you do those types of things, you work for this season. And then if they get a GM in place before the end of this season or whenever that might be, then it can be a seamless transition where it's not rushed, where things can kind of go along smoothly. And I think it makes sense. He's giving them months' notice at a time where teams typically, when they fire the GM or the GM leaves, it's typically after the season. We don't have that long before the draft. Now they've got months in advance to really do their homework, do their due diligence, bring people in, see how it works, and go from there. So I'm not surprised, and I actually really respect the timing of it too.
So, Dan, would you expect the Preds to go out? They do have internal candidates, but would you expect them to go outside? Yep. It feels like that's where it's probably heading. And if so, is there anyone or maybe a couple people you think might be really good for this job?
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I really haven't thought of the names yet of the guys who could be really good for this job yet. I mean, you want to find, like, the Matthew Darshes, right? I mean, a guy who's been in and he's been in a role for a while as an AGM, and maybe this, you know, you elevate him and he gets a shot. I think, like, one thing Nashville really hasn't done is gone outside, right? I mean, it's been David Poile, it's been Barry Trotz. Barry Trotz was there before. I think going outside the organization, not that they have good internal candidates, and I think those guys should absolutely be given a chance to look, you know, to see what they think and whatnot. But if you go outside the organization, you bring in somebody new, somebody fresh, somebody outside of Nashville, it brings in a completely different perspective. And that might be where this organization needs to head right now. And I think it's a good, it'd be a nice pivot for them, if you will, if they went outside the organization. I actually don't have any names off the top of my head. I probably should.
We don't really either.
But I don't.
Yeah.
But I don't have any names off the top of my head right now. However, I do think that if you go outside the organization, it might benefit the Predators at this stage, because they've been, you know, it's been a lot of consistency there, and consistency is a good thing, but sometimes you need that little bit of a shakeup.
So on the ice, Dan, I mean, they're 3 points out of a playoff spot after just a miserable start to the year. I mean, we all know last year was awful and it didn't go well for them. And, you know, in the middle of November, you look around and it's like, well, here they go again. They're the worst team in the league. They can't score any goals. And then all of a sudden, they've turned things around. Steven Stamkos is looking like, you know, prime Steven Stamkos almost right now. He may end up with 40 goals when it's all said and done this year. And look, I have no idea whether or not they're going to get in the playoffs. They've at least made it interesting here, and they've got decisions to make coming up here before the NHL trading deadline as to, you know, what do you do with O'Reilly, what do you do with Stamkos, all those things. But what do you make about where the Predators have now positioned themselves and where you think things go from here?
Well, I'll tell you what, they built this team last year, right? And I wrote this in my weekly mailbag on NHL.com last week. Stamkos comes in, Brady Shea comes in, right? I mean, you know, O'Reilly's already there, Marchessault comes in. They built it to be a playoff team. They built it to be a contender. And it flopped. It flopped. But they have a chance with these guys to be a playoff team right now. And they're all under contract beyond this season. So to me, You built this team to do this, to play meaningful games down the stretch, to push for a playoff spot. It was a miserable start, so they're playing catch-up the whole time, but they're almost caught up. And to me, it's outside of the five teams in the West, the three top three in the Central, and then Vegas and Edmonton, it's a why not us right now, race for the wild card, especially if you're the Predators, right? Because they can't finish third in the Pacific. Somebody has to finish third right in the Pacific, but they won't be able to do it. So I look at it and say, go for it. This is the team you built to go for it, so do that. And then evaluate it at the end. They don't have to trade Stamkos. They don't have to trade O'Reilly. They don't have to trade Marchessault. They don't have to do any of those things. These guys are signed for, so they're not rentals. They're not risking losing them for nothing. So go for it. We've seen it in Nashville, right? When you get in, hey, look, what can happen? We saw it. It's been a while, but we did see it happen before 9 years ago in Nashville. So why not them doing it right now? And then you bring in a new GM, and then a new GM can kind of figure out where he wants to go with the pieces that he's got. Or maybe they get in the playoffs and they make a run, and they're like, you know what, we're going to run it back just the way we got it because it worked. It's a team that's got a lot of talent, and it just was really underperforming at the start of the season, and it looked like things were just going to fly off the rails, but they got it back on, so now you might as well go for it.
Amid that, I still probably figure, Dan, that they're going to get a lot of calls about O'Reilly in particular, right, just because of his particular situation. How intense do you think the market for him will be? Like, are there some teams in mind that might really put something together that might be hard to turn down for the Preds?
Well, listen, I mean, he is a reliable, experienced number 2/number 3 center that he's predictable. You know exactly what you're going to get from Ryan O'Reilly pretty much game to game, and he's going to be a valuable guy for you guys for whatever team he's on, and you have him for next year too. So I think there's a big market for him. I really do. The interesting one is in the Eastern Conference, the Rangers have Vincent Trocheck, who is a similar type of player as Ryan O'Reilly, a little bit younger, signed for another year or two beyond O'Reilly. And the Rangers, we know the direction they're going in, and I think the Rangers could be looking to trade him. So some of those teams that might be looking to say, ooh, O'Reilly would be great for us, might also be looking at Trocheck and saying he would be great for us. And then you got to see where it goes from there. But if I'm the Predators, I'm not mortgaging big pieces of my future to go out and get rentals to try to make the playoffs this season. I'm looking at my team right now and I'm saying we have a chance to make the playoffs this season. Maybe we nibble around the edges a little bit, but then we can figure it out from out of there. I'm not trading O'Reilly unless I'm getting a deal that I'm absolutely blown away by. But if you trade him, like, what message does that send to the rest of the team? Like, you fought your way back into this and you got a big game tonight. I mean, you fought your way back into this. If you let him look to move a big piece like Ryan O'Reilly, it's a poor message being sent to your team. Like, yeah, you fought your way back, but we don't care. I don't like that message.
It's a really fascinating dilemma that I think Barry Trotz is going to be in. Huge game tonight for the Preds, taking on the Minnesota Wild. Dan, really kind with your time as always. Appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning, and we will talk to you soon, my friend.
Got it, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dan Rosen, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll react to what Dan had to say on the Predators front. Paul Kuharsky will be with us later in the program as well. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Appreciate Dan Rosen from NHL.com for being with us in the last segment. Dan's all in, baby. Preds are going for it. Dan Rosen's in.
Yeah, Dan. I mean, if he's taking over, it's like, let's buy. He did say not going out and buying anything, but he's not selling.
No.
Not selling anything.
Look, there are Predators fans that the more they play, the more they kind of buy into that. We've heard from them this week. It's like, well, they're 3 points out of a playoff spot. They're fun to watch. I mean, they just came back from 5-1 down the other night. Stamkos is playing great. Forsberg's playing great. Yossi's playing great. Let it ride and see what – I mean, the one thing he said there that I think if you – that does make this interesting is a lot of the guys that we're talking about, whether or not they trade, like, look, could they get a decent pick for Michael Bunting, who's a unrestricted free agent coming up? Sure. Maybe somebody gives him like a third rounder. I've said it before. Like I think people will be stunned if they decide to trade him, like what the return could look like for Michael McCarron based on who's trying to go get him because of the specific role that he could play for a team. But, I mean, you're not getting a huge return for Michael McCarron. We all know that. Eric Halla, you're not getting a huge return. But the guys that we're talking about, like O'Reilly, you're going to get a gigantic return. He is under contract next year. Stamkos is under contract for 2 more years. Marchessault is under contract for 3 more years. So there is some term here that does give you some flexibility if you're the Predators. My argument on the O'Reilly front is I think he is at absolute maximum value right now because he's got – If you're a team trading for him, number one, he's having a great year. So that is the one thing. Like, I agree with what Dan said. I think on a contending team, like one of these top teams, if they made a deal to get Ryan O'Reilly, he's probably a number two guy, maybe even a number three, depending on where it would be. But right now, he's playing like a number one for this team, right? So, and he's a point per game. So he's playing really well. But I think he's at maximum value right now. I think because he's got an additional year left on his deal, because of the position that he plays, and because of how well he's playing, I think he could fetch you an awful lot right now. Not to say he couldn't fetch you a lot next year either, but then you're talking about just 1 year left on the contract after that point. So I do think it's different.
Yeah, if I'm a Preds fan or if I'm in that room, I'm disappointed if there's some – yeah, bunting like deal. Like just keep the just keep it together and let the guys in the room keep doing their thing. If it's a big deal, an O'Reilly deal, I gotta say, like Stamkos, you know, obviously like O'Reilly's perfect because you have that 1 year left on the deal. Yeah. You know, Stamkos is two. That's a lot. It's big, but I mean, I don't know, man. The way he's playing right now, you're telling me there aren't some teams out there like,
they'll get calls on Stamkos.
We'll take, but I mean, yeah. Like. Could it get more of a return than you might have thought even like a couple weeks ago? I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, the one thing with him is it's just when you're talking about an $8 million contract, it's really hard for a lot of teams to make that work.
Yeah.
Not impossible. I mean, the cap's going up. But right, like
but for
right
this
now,
year.
For
I mean,
this year right now, it's hard to make
that
work.
Yeah, if you could make it work, what an ad that could be. Just right. Just to have him just
on your power play.
On your power play on the left circle. Like what a boost that is, right?
Yeah.
So I would not rule that out, but obviously O'Reilly, as you've been talking about a long time, he's the bell of the ball and the big question.
Well, and Stamkos also has total control. Like if he doesn't want to go anywhere, and he doesn't have to go anywhere, he's got trade protection. O'Reilly does not, although they have treated him.
They're letting
like
him. You know,
they have.
Have his own ghost.
I don't
protection.
Know that I would do that anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, look, I love
you
want to
you want to work with him.
You
want to
work
with him.
You want to do right by him. But like, if I guess what I'm saying is. If you get this monstrous deal that is from a team that O'Reilly deep down really doesn't have any interest in going to play for, but it's a deal that really accelerates things in your organization, like I'm sorry, but I think you got to do that if you're Barry Trotz. So we'll see. I don't know. I mean, look, they win tonight. They win tomorrow. I mean, they could conceivably either be in a playoff spot or right there on the verge of it by the time the Olympic break comes back. So – it is a very, I think, tricky and fascinating decision that Barry Trotz has got coming up.
And he's doing it as a lame duck GM now, so what does that mean? Does that change anything?
Yes. It's like, wow, Barry just gave up 3 first-round picks to go get he pried Sidney Crosby away from the Penguins. How about that?
He's going to be like Two-Face in Batman, just like flip the coin.
Which way do I go? He's got the magic 8-ball in his office, just shaking it.
Yeah, why not, man? Yeah. Have some fun with it.
I mean.
It's just the future of the franchise and possibly the city. No pressure.
I told this to you off the air. You know, we've talked about this. If they make the playoffs, they're probably playing – one of three teams, and I guess you could add, let's say one of five teams just to be safe. If they make the playoffs, they are going to be playing one of Colorado, Minnesota, Dallas out of the Central, or Vegas or Edmonton out in the Pacific. You know, Colorado looked unbeatable earlier this year. They've kind of stalled a little bit here, but we know how good they are. Like, they're really good. I mean, they're at 81 points already, so they're really good. Minnesota, it's a big game tonight. You're going to see them firsthand. Dallas, we know how good they are. They've been the Western Conference final a billion years in a row. Edmonton, I still say, out of all those teams, the team that if you're the Predators, like, I have no interest in playing in the first round is Edmonton, just because McDavid and Draisaitl. Like, there's nothing you can do with them. Like, as they have clearly demonstrated, particularly against this team, there ain't nothing you can do with them. And I know the Predators beat them earlier this year and all that stuff, but
They might get a game.
Like, but on the flip side, I understand if you're a Predators fan, you're like, this is the most fun I've had watching the hockey team in a couple years, right? I mean, I think we would all admit this is the most fun they've been to watch since they went on
the 18-game point streak and
went on the run 2 years ago.
Right.
I mean, it's not even close.
Yeah.
So what does that all mean at the end of the day?
Yeah. And it's all, like, as we've been talking about, the guy who has struggled, and obviously it's the most important guy in your team. Like, that's part of how you feel too, right? Is do you feel like Saros is going to be in a position to steal games in a postseason series, to change the math in your favor? Because right now that's not what it is.
Now it's not looking that way.
But that, like, that, to me, that's where, okay, a team, because, you know, go back to 17. There was a lot that went into that, including an incredible decor. But yeah, your goalie changed the math and elevated you above teams that maybe that you shouldn't have beaten. So, like, right now, they seem far from that. But it's not like we haven't seen Saros have he's had Vezina-level seasons.
I'm going to assume, and I understand, like, you look at the standings, and it's like, well, they're only three back. I'm going to assume, I mean, it's a logjam. Utah, Seattle, L.A., San Jose, and yourself, you're all kind of right there together. I'm going to assume if they make the playoffs, that's probably going to at least require Saros is going to have to be pretty good
right
down the stretch.
Yeah, it's like hard to imagine them getting there if he doesn't go.
Yeah, I know the offense has gotten better, but I don't think the Predators are putting up six a night, you know, going down the stretch here. So if they're going to make the playoffs, it's going to require down the stretch that he plays pretty consistently well. And if he doesn't, then they're probably just not going to make it. Like, it's not that it's all on him, but large part of it is going to be on him.
Yeah. So if they do make it, then you would assume he'd be playing at a level that at least makes it interesting.
Yep. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts to get to on the Predators. Paul Kuharsky will be with us in the second half of the program. We got the rant coming up later this hour. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Jerry on the text line says, Preds have notoriously been slow starters. Do you fear the Olympic break will slow their momentum or stop their momentum altogether and they'll come out and just fall flat after the break? I think that is a very good question. You know, I said it earlier. Like, part of the race is going to be determined here about, like, who can get back up to speed after the Olympic break the quickest, right? And if you start slow and you're not good in your first five games out of the break, well, that may be all it takes to take you completely out of the race at that point. So that is going to be, I think, one of the defining questions in this next part of the season here when they come back is, you know, first off, take care of your business the next couple of days and stay in there, like, stay in the race. But if you can do that, how quickly can you start on the other side of it? Going to be interesting.
Yeah. And if not, then I guess, not that the pressure is quite the same, but for Barry Trotz, you could give him clarity. It's like the some combination somewhere in between is where it gets hard, right?
Yeah.
So either pedal to the metal and make it clear, like, okay, this team is in there, give this team a chance, or okay, yep, that was a nice little tease, and pick up the phone.
Well, I mean, where you're at right now is hard. Like, what if they are where they are right now, where by the time the deadline comes around, which is 3 points out of the playoff spot? What do you do then if you're Barry Trotz?
I don't know.
I would argue you sell. But
I would
some
bet
people disagree
he
with
won't.
That.
I would bet he won't.
Yeah. Some people would disagree with that. So, like, I think it's – and look, there are some other Predators fans that say it doesn't matter if you're in the playoffs by 5 points. You're not beating either one of those teams or any of those teams in the first round. Sell anyway. I don't think that would happen at that point. But I understand that way of thinking. Like, there are some Predators fans that look at where they are right now and say, look, this team is not winning a championship. And if you're not winning a championship – get yourself in a position where you can stockpile as much as you can moving forward and try to kick that thing down the road a little bit, which I understand. Not always the right move, by the way, but I do understand it.
I get the sentiment. I do. You know, there's people who go to the games, who want to watch games that matter, who pay a lot for the seats. There's those people. And also, you know, it's there is the whole Ryan O'Reilly as a guy who is valuable to have in your organization when you have this young team next year, too. There is that.
There is that. Oh, and look, Ryan O'Reilly loves it here. He clearly does. Now, ultimately, I think he wants to win. And, you know, he's won a Stanley Cup. He's been a playoff MVP. Like, he knows what that looks like. He's also – he's going to be 35, I think, like, in 3 days. Yeah, 3 days from now, he'll be 35 years old. So, you got 1 year left on your deal beyond this one. I mean, look, the way he takes care of himself, the way that he's played this year, is it impossible that 2-3 years from now – he could still be a pretty effective player in this league? No, it's not impossible. Like, he could be. So we keep talking about a trade. Like, who knows? Maybe he wants to sign another contract here. I have no idea. I just think when you get into, you know, 35-year-old territory, that's what makes this part of this complicated too, is he's going to be 35. Stamkos is already 35. Like, these guys that have come on here, it's good to see. But you also, as a general manager, like, part of your job is you have to look ahead and give your best guess of what you think this is going to look like in a year, in 2 years, in 3 years. I don't know. It's just – it's hard to know, even for guys as established as, like, Stamkos and O'Reilly are. It's hard to know when that wall comes when you start to get into 36, 37 years old, which is very difficult to know.
Yeah. So it's like if they could get – if they could get hauls for, let's say, O'Reilly and Stamkos, I mean, I feel like how could you complain about that, you know?
I don't think you could.
Yeah.
Now, I understand, like, look, Stamkos in particular right now. You know, O'Reilly has been doing it basically all year. Like, from the start of the year, he's been really good. I mean, Stamkos, a month into the season, you wonder, it's like, man, he has completely fallen off a cliff. And we talked about it on the show. I never really believed that. But I'll be honest, like, it got to a point where I didn't really see this coming. Like, if you'd have told me he'd had 27 goals by February the 4th, when I think he had 4 in his first 22 games, I'm like, well, no, that's probably not going to happen. But right now, like, you know, right now I'm wondering if he's going to hit 40 by the end of the year. Like, that's, to his credit, that's what he's done. So is that what he is next year? Because if that's what he is next year, Joe, it's difficult for me to trade right now if I'm the Predators.
Yeah. But if that's what he is next year and somebody else out there really believes that and they're willing to take on 2 more years.
Yeah. It's a heck of a dilemma, man.
They might have an interesting call for you.
Yeah, it's a heck of a dilemma. It really is. And then the one that I think beyond those two, because everybody's going to be looking at those two. And, you know, names that we mentioned earlier in the show get brought up after that, whether it's, you know, McCarron, Halla, all those guys, which is interesting. I mean, if you ended up trading O'Reilly, McCarron, Halla. It's like, well, somebody's going to have to play center, right? It's like Tyson Jost. You're like, you're number one center.
Fetch, go out number one center.
Yeah. Fetch, come on back up. So that's neither here nor there. I am really interested, and I think specifically for this team where they are right now, I don't know that where they are in the standings is going to matter all that much with this player. Does anybody call about Marchessault and says, you know what? It's $5.5 million. He's not had a good year. He's been hurt for most of the year. It clearly is not a great fit in Nashville. Like, they just haven't been able to make it work. But we feel like on our team, with how we're structured, and maybe the center depth for this team is way better, and you can plug in with somebody that you feel good about, we'll take a shot. And I don't know what that return would look like. I don't know. I don't think it would be huge for the Predators. It would probably be more like, you know, getting the money off the books and just getting him moved on. Like, I think the Predators could be in the playoffs and they'd still probably pull a trigger on that move with him specifically.
Yeah. No, I think that makes sense. And again, it's just, it really is interesting to one, just thinking about, and obviously this was a bombshell for all of us. They've been talking about this internally and stuff like that, but like, I don't know. Is there any difference in mindset for Trotz? I mean, he wants to leave the place, you know, as well as, you know, he wants to leave the Preds as good a position as he can leave them, right?
Yep.
But like, it is different, right? If you are in that job and it's gone the way it's gone, I feel like there's like just tons of pressure to not screw this up. There's no pressure now, right? I mean, there's pressure because, again, you want things to go well for these guys and all that. But I don't know, just such a difference in urgency and all that in that seat.
You would think. Maybe it doesn't change the way he views it. I don't know. But you would think that would be the case.
Just human nature would suggest so. But, again, I have no idea what that means in terms of how it might make him think differently one way or the other. But it's just interesting to think of him in that seat now. You know, it's like, I mean, it's just playing out the string, man.
Yeah. Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com will be with us coming up next. We'll have the rant. We will get into all things Titans and NFL with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
He's bound and neck. A husky's on his way.
Which one of you has gout?
Wee Wee Wednesday.
I mean, I'd probably cut it in half.
Vrabel, smash away.
Catch one stray pee-pee and...
Paul Kuharsky. Have I mentioned my name? It's Kuharsky, and it's PaulKuharsky.com.
Seems like he knows the puck from his elbow.
Do you know your elbow from your ass?
Because it sucks to lose, Gentry.
This sucks. Losing sucks.
It is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. We also welcome Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com to the program with us as well this morning. I don't know what it was about that mashup, but I especially enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too. I'm enjoying a little Encott B right now too. I know Paul is. You're a big Encott B fan, right?
I didn't know that was Encott B, but it's a catchy tune.
Don't lie, man.
I don't lie about music.
The right stuff.
About music.
Specifically about music, I don't lie.
Hi, Paul. Oh, yeah, so
good morning,
all right,
everyone.
Do you want to just start talking or should I rant about
this
topic?
I mean, you were just seconds ago before the microphones came on, you were begging anyone to rant.
Do you want to have a rant?
Now it's like, everyone be quiet, I'm about to rant.
Now he's typing.
Now I'm laughing because that mashup made me laugh a lot. All right, here's one thing I just want to throw out there. It's a little bit annoying, and this is from me just watching Chris Sims. Maybe it's just that Chris Sims annoys me. He does. I do it too, so I probably shouldn't rip him, but he does like the voice. You know what I mean? Sam Darnold's a bust. Like I do the same thing, and yet when he does it, it really bothers the hell out of me.
Sure.
So I just saw this clip from Chris Sims on the whatever red carpet. What do they have out there? Some kind of like award show? They had a red carpet.
That's tomorrow night.
It was like taped or something, and it's going to air tomorrow night? Or
no, it's live tomorrow night.
Well, he was on some red carpet. They just got interviewed. I don't know what it was. Who knows? Maybe he went to a movie premiere.
Titans legend, by the way.
Yeah, that's right.
One game.
But so the Darnold, so point being, you know, he's, oh, everybody's a bust, you know, and it's like, and Darnold is obviously the great example of second chances. We've talked about it a million times. But let's also remember, because what happens when somebody has this kind of success, especially if he wins the Super Bowl, then we're going to be talking a whole lot in this league, right, about, oh, the second-chance quarterback,
oh, yeah,
no development, people give up on him. Like, some quarterbacks actually do suck, okay? Let's also remember that. Like, are we going to turn this into who is going to give Zach Wilson his big opportunity? No, he's not good. We know he's not good. There are still more of these guys than not. In fact, I would argue way more of these guys than not are not good, and they won't be good. You can put them anywhere, and they're not going to be good. So, great story, Sam Darnold. Fantastic. I mean, and if he completes the job, then finally I think people can stop saying Sam Darnold is going to turn into a pumpkin. Like, he's good. I think we should all know he's good now anyway. But he is still the exception. Baker Mayfield is still the exception. Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, Tua, help me keep. We can go on and on and on.
Well, Mac Jones has done some good things. Mac Jones had a good relief term for San Francisco this year.
Oh, stop it. Stop messing up my rant. Those people are the rule, okay? You can think Mac Jones is good, but those people are the rule. Agree or disagree?
Agree to an extent. I mean, there is now it used to be you had to draft a home run pretty much, or you know, have a long-term guy there. And there now is a small compartment of second-chance guys that is a reasonable pool to consider when you're looking for a quarterback that previously did not really exist. You either busted or you made it.
Tannehill.
We're about to see another. It's going to happen again this offseason. Like, Malik Willis is going to go play somewhere.
Yeah. Now, whether he takes off or not,
I have no clue. But he's going to go play.
But he's a little different because he was a third-round pick, so they're already like the expectations were already somewhat limited, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
As opposed to the top 10 QB who gets discarded.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's still an exception for sure.
I mean, I'm glad that there's stories like this. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. It's just I can see this getting
out of hand.
Yes.
I was just talking to Ian about this before I came in, and here's the interesting thing about it, too. And this is another situation where there needs to be gray. If Sam Darnold plays okay in this Super Bowl, but let's say it's a tight game, and let's say that the key to the Patriots either being in it or winning it is getting one big mistake out of Sam Darnold that is a game-turning point, people can't go to the other side and say, oh, see, Sam Darnold wasn't all he was chalked up. Sam Darnold is already, between last year in Minnesota and this year in Seattle, a top quarterback. You're not going to call him elite, but, I mean, a quarterback that can lead your team to the Super Bowl very clearly. Yeah.
Top half of the league, right?
A very good quarterback. Beyond top half. Top third, I'd say.
Top 10 QB? You got to start listing the names, and then it gets tighter. But yeah,
I'd say 10-12. Yeah. I'd very happily take him. If I didn't have a quarterback, I would very happily take Sam Darnold over a draft pick in this draft.
For sure.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
But if he makes the play in this game that leads to New England being Super Bowl champions, you know there's going to be a lot of narrative that's like, oh, he wasn't really that good. He didn't really get it done. He does everything to get them there. He wins an NFC championship with a brilliant game. And then people are going to say, oh, see who Sam Darnold really is?
Yeah.
Which is way, you know that's going to happen, and it's not fair. Not deserved for all he's done over the last 2 years. The guy's a legitimate NFL star.
Yeah. I actually need him to win and then blow it in the next Super Bowl and then see if anybody still says, hey,
one measly fluke Super Bowl, but he didn't do it twice.
Yeah. Well, again, I said this earlier in the show, but I think there was also the thought last year, it's like, well, yeah, he had a good year, but number one, he choked in the last couple of games. And number two, I mean, look at Minnesota. They were all loaded without him. It's like, well, they got rid of him this year, and they weren't any good, right?
And their D was still good.
Their D was good. They had Justin Jefferson still on that roster last time I checked.
Yeah.
And they weren't any good.
He and paternity leave have cost a guy a job.
Yeah, exactly.
That's an interesting topic to get into.
I mean, people really don't take it well. And look, should you get paternity leave? Yes. Do a lot of people think there's only so much a man does in the first couple months of a baby's life? Fair or not? Yes. But in the football culture, for scouts who, probably were, depending on the time of year their kid was born, still at a Best Western at Northern Montana, looking at prospects, is that going to go over well during training camp?
Probably not.
The facts of life are it's not, especially as things ultimately fall apart on your end of the franchise. And so, I mean, it's an understandable cultural clash there.
It's a generational thing, too. I mean, yeah, totally. Definitely. Like the generations, I guess I would say younger than us, but maybe you're, I don't know, definitely younger than us. There is, and I give them credit, like life balance and all that stuff. You think that good for you, but like it's
certain businesses,
it doesn't compute. Yeah. Like it's, and so if you want to be in that business with the rewards that come with it, I mean, like I respect it, but also like I'm not surprised that would rub people the wrong way.
And certain months,
the reality of the league,
certain months in the NFL are different. Training camp month, you're pretty much there 24/7. And so when you're not, it gets people's attention. And when that goes hand in hand with you having let Sam Darnold go and struggling through a quarterback thing and not delivering on your analytics background and not drafting well and all of that, It's just weird that they let him go to the Senior Bowl and then bring him
exactly.
back.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to fire you now.
What were the Wolves so busy with?
That's a great question.
Thanks for doing all that work, and now you're fired.
Okay. Kyle in Shelbyville says, Levis will bring us a second-round pick if Darnold wins the Super Bowl. Have at it, buddy. second-chance quarterback? Yes. Yeah. Get Will Levis in there.
Yeah, that idea that there's going to be direct influence from what Darnold does onto what Levis might do is a real stretch.
Where is Levis going to be next year?
I don't know. We need Brian Daboll to have some time to consider him and consider other options at backup quarterback. But he's not getting a second round. A guy that cost you a
second round pick
yep. is not bringing back a second round pick after shoulder surgery and nobody seeing him throw since then.
He'd get what?
I think
would he get a six? Would Levis bring a six?
Probably somewhere in that neighborhood.
You think maybe a fifth?
I was going to say fifth with some conditions. Who knows? I'm not a great trade estimator by any means. Not my strength.
And right now, he's backup for the Titans. Good to have him around.
I don't hate the idea of him. I'll tell you this,
too. It's all about his mindset coming out of that.
After having watched Brandon Allen play against Jacksonville, I'll take Will Levis as the backup quarterback. That's fine.
Yeah, that is the question. Is Levis like, okay, humbled? Let's do this, and then at some point I get my chance, or is it like, get me the hell out of there. I'm good enough to do more somewhere else. Where they don't have a must. He has to be the franchise guy because he's the number one pick. Send me somewhere else where like they don't have to play the other
but
guy.
But if they keep him, and they've got all the hand in this, if they keep him and he says, I'm going to be sour about it and an irritant for a new regime that's coming in and everything, I mean, how does that benefit him at all?
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
No, it doesn't.
From a philosophical standpoint, I wonder, like, how much do the Titans care about having a veteran quarterback in there with Ward? I don't know the answer to that. I mean, Ward just played 17 games, so it's not like he's inexperienced at this point, but you're still a relatively young quarterback. How much do you care about having that grizzled vet in there with him?
Well, I mean, you could still have a guy. I'm not saying Trevor Siemian is a grizzled vet, but he's been through it. You get a guy like that for camp, at least. To be the senior voice, and then when the season comes around, do you need that? I would argue, unless you have absolutely the right guy, no.
And Levis plays well in the preseason. You send him just like they did with Willis. Yeah. You send him somewhere then.
I need the backup quarterback to be able to step in and play. I'm glad Brandon Allen had a nice relationship with Ryan Callahan. I need the backup quarterback to be able to step in and play. Yeah. I think we saw that
and if
on full display last
time.
If
it can't, then you go young with potential upside, knowing that that's a crapshoot. But as opposed to keeping an old guy around who can't play, I'm for a young guy that maybe could do something, upside in terms of you developing it.
Paul Kuharsky with us for the next hour, talking all things Titans. We will take your questions for him as well. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.